In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I used to live in Charlottesville, Virginia. I went to college there at the University of Virginia, and sometimes I miss that city and its surroundings. It's a beautiful place in a valley in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. I love those old mountains, and I could be hiking the Appalachian Trail in half an hour from my front door. However, there are trade-offs to every location. And the downside of being in the valley is that it's the last place for the sun to rise and the first place for it to set, because the mountains block it all around you when it's low in the sky. Darkness can come early and linger late, especially this time of year. So a group of friends and I had a tradition. At least once a year, usually really early in the spring, when we had grown tired of the long winter nights, we would wake up well before the sun and go hike up a place called Humpback Mountain on the Blue Ridge Parkway outside Charlottesville to wait for the coming of the dawn. We would wake up early in the morning. I used to have a friend who would say, before even God was awake. And we would gather our supplies, a thermos of coffee, flashlights, and a blanket, in that order of importance, and bundle up in our warm clothes. Then we would drive a half an hour or so to Skyline Drive and park, and hike the Humpback Hill in the dark of night with our flashlights and other supplies. We would reach the summit, a giant rock where no trees grew, which provided the perfect vantage point, and then just wait there for the coming dawn. When it came, the light would break over the horizon like a gentle wave and spill into the whole of the valley below, filling it with glorious light, highlighting the grand homes and the orchards, the grounds of the university and the surrounding vineyards, speaking life into a sleepy world below. And in that moment, it was all worth it. The lack of sleep, the cold, the strenuous climb, the stubbed toes in the pitch dark, because we saw the incomparable spectacle of the coming of the light. I sometimes think about that spring tradition at this time of year, and how we would cast off our slumber and get up early because we were tired of the darkness, and found the hope of the dawn and the sign of the coming spring more appealing than even sleep in our warm bed. I remember how we got out from beneath our blankets and ventured out in the cold because we wanted to be the first to feel the warm rays of the sunlight. I think about how we banded together, using the artificial lamps of the flashlights, to search out the best vantage point for the breaking of the real dawn. We did it together because the combination of coldness and darkness and tiredness would have made any of us turn back on our own. We didn't know exactly when the dawn would break, but we knew the best place to look for it and that it would be worth it. And so we climbed the mountain and we waited. Today's readings remind me of that ritual and make me want to engage in it again. The gospel speaks to us about not knowing when the Son of God will return. The second coming of Christ that the readings of Advent 1 always point us to. And it says that because we don't know the day or the hour, that we must stay awake and keep watch for it in the night. And the Isaiah passage holds forth the promise of the mountain of the Lord that all people will stream to so that they can see the coming of the Christ. And it beckons us to come up to that mountain, to the dwelling place of the God of Jacob, as we wait on the dawn of the day of the Lord. The passages provide few answers to the many questions that such an event would elicit. Not only do we not know when, we don't know exactly what we are waiting for or what it would look like when we see it. Will it be as obvious as the dawn breaking over the horizon? Or as obscure as the first coming, a baby born in an out-of-the-way manger? Will it be a glorious and spectacular event? Or sneak up upon us unannounced as a thief in the night? We don't know what the coming of the kingdom of God will be like, but we do know what the God of the coming kingdom is like, because he came to us once before in the first advent of Jesus Christ. We know that the last time God broke into our world, he brought healing and forgiveness. He restored sight and fed the hungry. He set captives free and raised the dead. From the vision in Isaiah, we know that weapons will be turned into farming implements because the harvest will be so great. And we know that when this God comes, he will settle disputes, unite people, and teach them a new way of being. In other words, the coming kingdom will complete the work started by the first coming of Christ. It will bring a perpetual dawning, endless light to cast out the cold and disperse the darkness of our present reality. It sounds like what we need right now. It sounds better than even the breaking of the dawn into the valley. It sounds like something we should do more to prepare ourselves for. The great Anglican mystic and spiritual writer Evelyn Underhill wrote this about the meaning of the first advent. Whilst all things were in quiet silence and night was in the midst of her swift course, thine almighty word, O Lord, let down from out of heaven and thy royal throne. Alleluia. When God's eternal word became flesh in Jesus Christ, it brought light to the world. But we still too often live in darkness and night, and we hope for a new coming to bring a day of endless light. We got a foretaste so that we could know the warmth of the reign of the Son of God, but it did not end the persistence of night in our world. And so in Advent, we are taught to wait, but not to wait passively. The Advent prayer for this week implores us to actively put off the works of darkness in our lives and put on the armor of light as we wait for Jesus. The gospel tells us to keep watch for the coming, and the Isaiah passage asks us to do the work of climbing the holy mountain of God. The best way for us to prepare, to hasten the coming, is to make our lives look like the vision Isaiah presents of the coming of the Christ. Take the things that we could wield as weapons, our power and our intellect, our money and our guile, our anger and our influence, and beat them into plowshares and pruning hooks, instruments of harvest, to make them into tools we use to sow kindness, to nurture gentleness, to reap godliness, and to feed those who suffer from all types of hunger and lacking. We cast off the darkness of ignorance that we hold as knowledge, the simple answers we are so sure of that we've stopped looking, the self-justifying responses, the safe covers that have allowed for laziness, the cold apathy of not caring to know or to listen and learn from other people. And we climb the holy mountain of God and wait for his promised instructions, where he teaches us how to walk in his ways. We put aside the coldness of our hearts, our grudges, our self-righteous indignation at how we were wronged, our prejudices, our snap judgments, and our silent accusations. And we let God arbitrate. Allow the Lord to be judge, whatever the verdict, even as we join with people on the mountain that we deem unworthy because of their class or background, their lifestyles or other shortcomings. Because nations will stream to this mountain, And our exclusionary inclinations will only keep us in the valley, not them. It isn't easy, this type of preparation. None of this is natural. To sleep in the time of darkness is most natural. But this is what the vision of Advent calls for. And it's why we band together to climb the mountain and keep watch together in this season. Because on our own, we might each turn back. About the hour of this coming dawn, we don't know much. So maybe our best bet is to climb the holy mountain now, while it still seems dark, while the vision seems yet far off, so that we can be the first to see its coming. Advent is supposed to be the time where we wait on the holy hill expectantly for the coming of the Christ. So let us put off our winter slumber and cast away our works of darkness, and put on the armor of light as we climb the holy mountain of the Lord to wait for the light of Christ to come in His glorious majesty. And let us do it together. Amen.